We are finishing our sermon series today called Deep Calling, where we've worked through what it means to discern and hear the will of God. How do I know what God wants for my life? So we went through several sermons talking about what it means to discern and hear God's voice. The first thing we did was say that every decision, every realm of our life belongs to God. There's no compartment where God's will doesn't touch. So discernment first begins with release. Every part of my life belongs to God. Then we talked about how to know what God's will is when we have a choice. And sometimes it's clear. We don't need to discern anymore. We just need to act. And when it's not clear, when it's two choices about moving here or moving there or taking this job or staying where I am, there's not a clear moral choice, then we can relax and trust God that He can work with whatever decision that we might make. Then in the sermon after that, we said, hey, sometimes we shouldn't be praying for outcomes. We should pray for virtues. That so many times in Scripture, so many times in Scripture, people are praying for wisdom. They're asking God to help them make good choices, not for a particular outcome. And so we should pray for the virtue, particularly of wisdom, not a particular outcome. And when we pray for that, God seems to bless it. And then we said, well, how do we hear God's voice? People have dreams, they see, they tend to have a special relationship. I don't have that. We said sometimes the voice of God sounds like faithful friends, people whose lives seem to be in tune with God. And so we tune out our own self. We tune out all of the yes people around us. We tune out all the influencers who don't know us. And we trust faithful friends who can speak wisdom into our lives. And finally, we talked about group discernment and the difficult situation in Acts 15 when the church leaders were trying to get two groups of people together who had different beliefs and preferences. And we said the only reason they were able to do what they did in Acts 15 is because in Acts 2, they were gathering regularly for fellowship. And so when groups make decisions together, we do dinner tables before we do conference tables. Our church is in a season of some discernment. We're discerning ministry staff members who might join our team to serve our children. We have a committee of wise people working through that process. We're discerning new ways to serve the city of Dallas. And we've been meeting around dinner tables at restaurants in the city where many of you have gathered and spoken into what you think our church is good at, what you think the city needs, and how those two might come together. And this morning, we have another exciting new way to do some discernment together as a church. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to one of our elders, Paul Hurd.
Thank you, Josh, for the series that you're leading us through. And now, church, we've got an opportunity for everyone to participate in some discernment. Today, we begin our elder selection and affirmation process. Yes, it's been a while since we've gone through that. We had a pandemic. We had a preacher leave. We had a preacher search. We had a preacher come and join us and who's got two successful years under his belt. So now's a good time for us to undergo this process. During the preacher search process, where we partnered with Seibert Institute from Abilene Christian University, they work with lots of churches, and we did a number of things with them. One of them was take a look at our elder selection process. We wanted to look at best practices across churches and help implement some of those things as we would undergo that, which we knew we would, probably a couple of years after Josh joined us. Well, now is that time. So we've updated our process, and Josh has completed two successful years here, and we think it's a good time to start that. So how that process will start is all the existing elders will be automatically nominated and included in a ballot you'll see later in April, but we're encouraging new nominations, and this is where you play a role. So members of all ages are eligible to nominate men to be considered as elders by the entire congregation. There's several relevant scriptures that Josh will be talking about a little bit later this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus 1, 1 Peter 5, that talk about the qualities you should consider when nominating men for this task to serve as an elder. Those aren't the only considerations, but those are the most important biblical references that you should look at. It's also a good practice to visit with men you're considering nominating and affirm them and tell them that you see them as a shepherd, as shepherd material to serve this church, and get their blessing. To help us through this process, we've asked Larry Pearson to lead the process. He served as an elder here for over 20 years. He's led and participated a number of ministry searches and committees and participated on them. He knows what it means to be an elder. He knows the challenges and the rewards that come with that. And he's been a model to many of us that currently serve as elders as to how we should behave. Joining with him will be a committee that will help him administer this process. People on the committee are Jim Burnett, Shanna Duza, Rhonda Edmondson, Monty Harper, Bill Perryman, Allison Rowe, and Greg Samuel. The committee will facilitate the discernment process through March that will involve the nominees and the committee and current elders. And at the conclusion, the committee will put forth the candidates to the church in April. At the conclusion of this service, there'll be nomination forms for you to pick up on your way out. And over the next two Sundays, you can put your form in one of the boxes that will be made available for you to nominate men to be elders of this church. And there'll be also a secure online way to do it if you'd like to do it that way. Watch for an email later this week, and it'll point you to a place where you can do that. But take the form home today. Listen to Josh's sermon. Consider those texts. And pray about the decisions and the people that you want, the men you want to put forward as you nominate that. The process and timeline is available online, so at prestonroad.org/elder-selection. We plan to announce candidates that have agreed to be considered at the end in April, and affirm them along with our existing elders. I ask you to pray about this process, for God to be to leading us in this process. He's blessed us and given us great opportunity here in this place as we seek to live out our mission of loving God and loving others. So, Josh, take us through the key text.
Thank you, Paul. In the fall of 1999, my grandmother passed away suddenly. It was my first grandparent death I had experienced. And we went to a small church in a small town outside of Wichita Falls, a church I'd never been to, didn't know anyone there. And I know I've told you this story before, but it made an impression on me. Because I'm walking in with the family, among a bunch of strangers, kind of disoriented. And then I see three elders from my hometown church there. I didn't talk with them before the funeral. I didn't talk with them after the funeral. I didn't talk with them at all that day. But in a very anxious, confused time for a high school senior, I saw three pillars of stability in that difficult moment. Up until that point, and even beyond then, I had never stepped foot in our church's conference room. I didn't know what they were like when they were making decisions. I didn't know the kind of acumen they might have brought. That didn't matter to me. It was there, but that's not what made them shepherds to me. What made them shepherds to me was they showed up at a time of grief and anxiety. When I think of shepherds, and I think of the people who made an impression on me when I was young, that's what I think of. And so as we think about adding shepherds to our congregation, I want to talk us through some of the passages that are there that talk about what kind of men we're looking for, but I want to keep the image of a shepherd front and center, because I might not have known everything they did behind the scenes, but I knew a shepherd when I saw one. In two letters, Paul writes to different leaders on the ground about appointing elders. He first writes to Timothy, and in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says this: "Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires..." Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task.
I just want to stop right there and affirm that passage. It is a noble task to be an elder of a church. It is important work and it is hard work. Just think of what it must have been like to be an elder at a church the past several years in any church, going through a pandemic and all the different preferences that showed up then, societal, racial, political unrest. And then think about here going through a preaching transition and all the work that went into that, some of which I know about, some of which started long before I got here. I just want to take a moment and say thank you to our 8 existing elders. Would you join me in doing that? And I have watched them, yes, in the room making decisions, but I've also watched them out taking care of people. Paul Hurd was at my house when we were moving in, putting together IKEA furniture and bringing us Campisi's pizza, which was amazing, by the way, and hooked on that now. Thank you very much. If you're going to join someone and put together IKEA furniture, you are really in it. Let me tell you what. That is no fun. I have been shepherded and led by our elders in many ways. They are, according to Scripture, worthy of double honor. They volunteer their time for a sometimes thankless task, but it is very important. So here are some things Paul says to Timothy about the kind of men that should be elders. I'm going to go through these relatively quickly, but I encourage you to go back to these passages. We're looking for men who are above reproach and faithful to their wives, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness. We're looking for people who are not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not lovers of money, men who manage their household well, who have obedient children, and who do so in a respectful manner, men who are not recent converts, those who have a good reputation with outsiders. And then to another church leader, Titus, a similar list. You'll notice some overlaps. Men who are blameless and faithful to their wives, who have believing children, who are not wild and disobedient, who are not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain, who are hospitable, who love what is good, who are self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Then Peter writes a letter. His letter is more of a charge to existing elders. And he says, to the elders among you, I appeal to you to, here's what he says, be shepherds of God's flock, watching over them. Not because you're forced, but because you're willing to do so. You should not pursue dishonest gain. You should be eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you. And again, I want to encourage you to spend some time during this nomination process looking at these 3 passages of Scripture. I would summarize them this way. We are looking for people with certain qualities about their demeanor. So they need to be gentle and not quarrelsome. People with certain qualities about their ethics, not pursuing dishonest gain, not drunkards. Men with qualities about their service. They can teach, they're hospitable, they're eager to serve. There are qualities addressed about marriage and families, because Paul says how you lead and manage your family can't be separated from how you might lead and manage a church. And then finally, we're looking at men's reputations. Are they seen in a good way by outsiders? Those are the kind of men we're looking for in elders. So that's who we're looking for, but then what do they do? What are the duties of elders according to these passages? One is they provide spiritual leadership. They're the ones we might go to with a question about God's will or about Scripture. They're the ones who would show up and pray for us, be there when times are tough, to guide us and draw us closer to God. We're looking for people who can be involved in spiritual leadership. Second, These men are charged to watch over doctrine, safeguarding doctrine, as Paul says. What's being taught? What's being preached? What voices are the church hearing? What's the input coming in? We're looking for men who know Scripture well enough to be able to distinguish healthy teaching from unhealthy teaching. So what I say up here, what's taught in our classes, that all falls under the realm of our elders safeguarding doctrine. And the third thing that these passages speak to is just directing the works of the church. That doesn't mean that they're in the weeds on everything. The ministers and servant leaders are doing much of the day-to-day work, but the elders oversee all that. Some of that does have to do with budgets, finances, building and grounds, but overall it's setting a vision, supporting, and keeping the big picture in mind. Those three things, I think, are what Paul and Peter and others say that elders do. Now, we could talk about specifically what they do here, and that will be part of the discernment process for those who might be interested and willing to serve. But those are three areas of things that elders do. But I want to take a step back for a moment. We've listed qualities, we've listed duties, but first, we need to ask the most important question. Is this person a good shepherd? So a person, there might be men who are exhibiting all the qualities that we listed, everything that you just saw, but the first thing we need to ask is he a good shepherd? I think the message of Scripture is, make sure the people that you think of as shepherds, make sure those men exhibit all these qualities. It's not, if a man meets all these qualities, automatically he's a shepherd. That'd be like if you were hiring a teacher and you said, well, this person's got a bachelor's degree and 5 years of experience, so hire that person. Well, you would first have an interview and say, is this person actually a good teacher? So I think these passages are kind of the backstop for the kinds of people we see as good shepherds. We don't turn to Timothy and Titus first and say, you tick the boxes, you're automatically an elder. We say, who is doing the work of shepherding? And then let's make sure that they meet the descriptions that Timothy and Titus tell us about. There's an exercise I've used when I've prepared classes on elder selections. It's by Mark Love. Mark was at ACU for a while, now at Rochester. The exercise is kind of humorously called, Where's Eldo? Okay? And it's a set of questions that you might ask as you think about who could serve as a new elder. Here are some of the questions he encourages us to ask by way of group discernment. If the ministers and current elders were all at an event and couldn't be reached by phone, and I had a burning question regarding the meaning and application of a certain passage of Scripture, whom among our men would I consider calling? If the ministers were busy lifting weights one day and the elders were spotting them and I needed someone to pray for me, whom among our men would I call? If the staff was off skiing and the elders were sitting in the lodge drinking hot chocolate and I was injured in an accident, who among the men in the congregation would I want to comfort me? If the ministers and elders all came down with laryngitis one Sunday and my parents or my grown children were here and I wanted to take them to an excellent Bible class, what teachers would I feel comfortable with them hearing? Or what class leaders do I know would welcome them? When I think of men in this congregation that make me feel welcome, make others feel welcome, who comes to mind? What men lead my heart and mind when they lead prayer? What men, whether in class or personal conversation, seem to have insight into Scripture and the will of God? What men have inspired me to be a better servant? What men have done a good job mentoring our children and teens? These and others, I think, are some important questions to ask as you think about who might serve as a shepherd of this congregation. This is an exercise in group discernment. We're first praying and talking with nominees. We have a wise committee to lead this process. Our current leadership will be involved, and we are seeking God's blessings as we try to exhibit wisdom in picking our next elders. Let me say just a few words about nominations. Okay, so Paul gave you the logistics, and I'll remind you again, there'll be forms at the back. There'll be a way to do that online. Julie will have a box at her desk during the week if you need to come by then. We have multiple ways for people to submit nominations. Let me say a word to some of you who may be approached to serve. Your first response is probably going to be, I don't think I'm good enough to do that. And if that's your first response, that's probably a good thing. That's a mark of humility. You don't want people in who are thinking, I got this. This is easy. Just talk to any of our elders. But I would encourage you to think through your first response of reluctance. And if several people approach you, this may be an example of faithful friends speaking God's will into your life. If several people see you as a shepherd, you should take that seriously. Now, it still might not be a good season for you and your family, and we understand that. Maybe you say no now, but you'll say yes at some other point. But take it seriously if someone nominates you. Be in prayer about that, and don't give a knee-jerk response. Please, please consider that, because others see you as a shepherd. To the rest of the church, when you think through whom you might nominate, we can sometimes, out of a really good heart, talk ourselves out of nominating someone because of what we assume might be their life circumstances. Well, you know, with the kids and all, I know they're really busy. Let someone else tell you no. Don't say the no for them. What I've learned, whether it's elder selection or other things, sometimes people need to say no a few times before they're ready to say yes. Maybe they get to a yes in this process eventually. Maybe they say no now, but they're ready for a yes at the next process, which, yes, Paul, let's hope is sooner than 10 years from now, right? Maybe next time they say yes. Don't talk yourself out of nominating someone because you assume they will say no. You go ask. If nothing else, you are speaking life into someone else by saying, I see God at work in you, and you are the kind of person I would want to shepherd me and to shepherd this church. And then let them pray for wisdom as to whether or not to accept that nomination. But don't talk yourself out of nominating someone. So church, we have a discernment process to go through now. We are discerning as a group. Today, you can take one of the nomination forms that will be in the back. Take it home with you. Pray about it. Talk to the people that you might want to nominate. Tell them why you think they're a good shepherd and why you hope that they will say yes. Those nominations are due 2 weeks from today. So we'll have this week and next Sunday and then the following week. And on March 2nd, nominations are due. So whether you turn them in here, whether you turn them in on the online form, those are due March 2nd. And at that point, Larry and then the committee will take over with moving those nominations through the process. We'll keep you posted as we move along, and we look forward in April to learning who some additional elders from our church will be. This is a very important process. This church has been here 85 years, in no small part due to great leadership. And we pray to God that that continues. And so at this moment, as we close, I want to pray for us and for this process, for our current and potential elders. So would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, you have brought us to this moment. You have been faithful to this church for 85 years. You have raised up leaders who have sought your will, who have led us spiritually, who have safeguarded doctrine, who have directed these works well. Give us all wisdom as we discern who additional elders might be to serve this church. May we raise up men who love you, who love this church, who will bring about good things through their own wisdom. So I pray for us as we discern. I pray for those who will be nominated as they discern. I pray for our current elders, and I pray for those who will join them. We entrust this process to you as those who follow you with our whole hearts. God, as we go through this process, may you bless us and may you celebrate with us in a few months as we add new elders to this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.